Acts chapter 18, the book of Acts chapter 18. Thank you. We'll read from verse 1, Acts chapter 18. This is God's word to us. After these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them. And they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshipper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." This is God's word to us. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful truth in the book of Acts, truth of the Apostle Paul and many others who stood firm and preach the gospel. And Lord, we see so many people coming to faith through their witness. Lord, bless this truth to our hearts tonight. Oh God, help me preach your word. I ask for your grace, by your Holy Spirit, enable me and speak clearly, Lord, into the hearts of everyone here. For this is a truth we all need to hear again. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just to start off, I want to say God wants to encourage us tonight. He loves us. He cares about us. He cares about where you're at this evening. He knows you intimately. He knows all about you. He knows what you did during the week, what you taught, in your minds, in your hearts, what you did, the people you prayed for. He heard all those prayers. Isn't that wonderful? And he knows what's going on in Coot Hill, across Cavan, Monaghan, and in Ireland, and around the world, for he is God. But in my heart tonight, I'm burdened, and God has been burdening me for a while, because as I read my Bible, I see this wonderful sense of the New Testament church in the book of Acts, and I see a church that went out with practically zero resources, and they preached the gospel, and many people were ushered into the kingdom. Many people. Remember, they didn't have buildings like this. It was about 250 to 300 years later before they had any church buildings. They met together. They went out, they witnessed. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have Bibles to hand out or tracts. They were witnesses. They were the Bibles. They were the tracts. And they walked out believing that truth, that they had been empowered by the Holy Spirit to reach the lost. People took notice about them. Their conversation was about many things, but mainly about Jesus Christ. And they wanted to fulfill the Great Commission. And people said they're always going on about the way, they're always going on about this Christ. And they were given the name as Christians by their witness. They didn't call themselves Christians. It's what they were called. But as I read this, I say, wow, they didn't have much, but they had God. They had the gospel. And the gospel was sufficient, and it's still sufficient. And that's the title of my message tonight. The gospel is all sufficient. We don't need anything else. I think there has been a build-up of people have been hit, maybe it's a better way of being put it, throughout the years, and confidence has been taken out of people when it comes to the gospel. People don't seem to have the same zeal or passion. They've seemed to, maybe because of what's been said to them by the enemy and the world, and maybe just a general lack of confidence within Christian circles, they have a lack of confidence in the gospel. Now, we can sing about the old rugged cross and all these wonderful truths, but I can tell you something about the gospel. It is all powerful. All powerful. It has never lost its power. We need to believe that again. The church needs to take hold of this. All churches, that the gospel is all powerful. We were down at a conference there for the week gone past at Summer Fire, and someone asked me, what does Summer Fire mean to you? And I said many things. But I feel sometimes like a ship that has been on the sea a long time. And there's a build-up on the hull of Paul Hackett of all the different things that come against me. The devil telling me I'm no good. People, just problems. My own walk with God. The struggles of life. And there's like this build-up that gets built up on the ship. And what happens to a ship every year or so? They take it out of the sea and they chip off all these lumps that stop it from sailing smoothly. It's ineffective because it's not dynamically moving through the water. It's all clumps and lumps stuck onto it. When I went to Summer Fire, you know, God knocked those lumps off and refocused me and confirmed in my heart, yes, Paul, you are right. People have lost confidence in my gospel. And he knocked all those lumps off me and put me back in the water and just pushed me back out to sea. And that happens. And we need that. We need to be brought back to a truth and a reality, because we all have things that block our understanding of what the gospel is. Do you have confidence tonight? Before you leave here, you will, because I'm going to show you in God's word. It's not Paul Hackett's thoughts. Do you have confidence tonight in the gospel? Real, true, biblical confidence that we see in the book of Acts. They went out. They didn't have pockets in their garments back then, but they had nothing. But they had Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And they believed and they went out and they preached the gospel. And people got saved. People who were heathens, pagans, who worshipped all sorts of gods, got saved. They left those things behind. They came into the church. And God did a great work on them. They weren't instantly transformed into perfect people. None of us are. But they were saved nonetheless. And they grew in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They became great witnesses. And we're here today because people believed in the gospel. And guess what? You believed in the gospel when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. The gospel means good news. The gospel is Jesus Christ, friends. And it's all powerful. It's never lost its power. So God has encouraged me through his word. He has shown me in this passage this truth that Paul was going through, the Apostle Paul. He had just come from Athens. Now, has anybody here ever heard people say this? I hear it quite a lot. Cavan and Monaghan is very dark. It's as hard as concrete. It's really, really hard. We can't get through to them. Now, we have to ask with the gospel. They just don't want to know. Is it that they just don't want to know, or is it that we're not telling them clearly? Because if we believe the gospel is all powerful, matter how hard it is, God will move. And God has moved in history. The Apostle Paul here is on a second missionary journey, and he arrives in Corinth. He's come from Athens. This is a leading city of Greece. It was a city of intellectuals. They were very intelligent, and it was full of idols. And Paul preached the gospel there, and he didn't see many come to faith. Now, what did the Apostle Paul do? He would have felt a bit down. I've preached it. I've given them everything, and yet I've only seen a bit of fruit from my labors. Downhearted. He wants to meet up with Silas and Timothy, and there's no sign of them, so he moves on down to Corinth. Now, he moves from Athens to Corinth. If Athens was the intellectual city, Corinth is sin city, the frying pan into the fire. So if the Christian Athenians had said, this is a hard city, Corinth would have been considered very, very hard. There was all sorts of worship going on in that city, and people had no morals. And Paul arrives. And we see in the first few verses of chapter 18, this truth of Paul arriving into Corinth, and he found some Christians, a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius, the Roman emperor, had kicked out all the Christians. And Paul meets up with them, and he starts to work alongside them. He's a tent maker. He has that skill, Paul, to make tents with them. So he's laboring away with them. So they would have had the conversation. How did things go in Athens? What was it like? Did many come to faith? Well, I preached the gospel faithfully. Do you know how many idols they had there? This city's even worse. What are we going to do? Well, it's fierce hard. It's fierce hard. It's time to go to the synagogue. So Paul faithfully went down to the synagogue. And Paul didn't want to be a financial burden to anybody. There was no church there to provide wages so he could preach the gospel. So he had to work for a living. But that didn't stop him. He was reasoning, verse 4, in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. So Paul was reasoning with these people. And we need to understand that this is persistent reasoning. It wasn't that he went in once and they said, we're not interested in what you're selling. Just do your own thing. Every time he went down, a guest in the synagogue, and Paul had a bit of a reputation, would be invited to debate and to read scripture. So that's what Paul did. And he presented them with Jesus Christ. Now, here's the interesting truth. Paul's working away. He's not giving up. He's seeking God and he's praying. And he believes in his heart that the gospel is all powerful. What we miss sometimes in scripture is the detail. How do you think Paul was feeling at this time, at this place, that he wasn't? You see, we have this truth in our minds about these men were spiritual giants and that they went out and preached the gospel and many came to faith. Sometimes that happened, but sometimes, mostly, it did not happen. But Paul didn't give up. Was Paul fearful? Did his knees knock together? I have to go over and talk to those people. Those rabbis are so hard to deal with. Yes, he suffered with fear. He suffered with anxiety, I'm sure. But that didn't stop him from believing that the gospel was all-powerful. It was a driving force in this man. And as we wonderfully heard this morning, the Apostle Paul wasn't appointed by man. He was called by God. Jesus Christ said, here is my gospel, Paul. Bring this to the world. This is the same gospel we preach, by the way, and the same gospel that saved those who are saved here. So it's interesting when Silas and Timothy turn up on the scene, because they would have brought some financial support from other churches and they would have been laboring as well. This freed up Paul to devote himself to the Word of God. Now, they didn't have the New Testament. Paul is looking at Old Testament scriptures. Paul is sharpening the blade. He wants to know when he goes into the synagogue, exactly to come up with good arguments to come against these guys, present Christ from the Old Testament scripture to these people. He wasn't giving up on these people. It said he was persistently going into the synagogue, and now he's going in a greater way with the truth of the gospel. So, verse 5, when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. They were getting this full blast on. Now, here's the thing. You can talk about God all day long to anybody, because there's so many different types of gods. But when you start bringing Jesus Christ into the subject, that's when people start getting annoyed at you. I have my own thing. Have you ever heard that? I have my own faith. We have our own religion. Yes, Jesus Christ might be the Son of God, but we don't want to know. Because when you think about it, when you're presenting Jesus Christ, you're presenting sin. He's not the sin. You're the sinner. He's the Savior. But that's what you're presenting to people. And nobody likes to hear that they're a sinner. Nobody. But it's the truth. For the Bible teaches, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Paul wasn't going in there with his own gospel. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God had said in his word that he would give them, they would preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, I didn't come in with words of wisdom, words of knowledge. I came in foolishness. I preached Christ and him crucified. So we went in there believing that God was working behind the scenes. I'm just going to present the gospel. I'm just going to present the gospel. He didn't present Moses. He might have argued that Moses pointed to Jesus Christ, but he didn't say you have to put your trust in Moses. He didn't give wise words. He didn't point to men in society. He pointed to Jesus Christ. That is the gospel, that you must put your trust in Jesus Christ. Now, what happens when you present Jesus Christ to some people? They'll either accept Jesus or reject Jesus. We can, as people, focus on the people who reject. And that pushes people back from sharing the gospel. And what ends up happening is, we think, well, we're just in an area where there's no power. The Holy Spirit can't break through. And I didn't like what they said to me at that front door. Do you know what? We'll surround our wagons together, you know, like they did in the Wild West. They put all their wagons around in a circle, and they just stayed in that circle, and they wouldn't go outside it until the threat went away. And we as the church sometimes, because of people saying, go away, leave me alone, I don't want to know, and telling us to get stuffed when we knock on the door, can come back all hurt and say, we're not going outside the doors of the church anymore. We can surround our wagons in a circle and because of what people might say to us, but we're not to focus on those who reject the gospel. We're to focus on the ones that will accept the gospel. That needs to be our heart, that there's people out there who will accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that the gospel is all powerful. And sometimes, nearly most of the time, those that have told me to go away, who've been hard in my face first, are nearly always the people that accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a very interesting truth. And so, we have in this case, though, when Paul testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ, you've got to understand the temperature, the atmosphere that was going on, and Paul was still going in there. He was afraid, and we'll see that in Scripture. And Paul kept going because he believed the gospel was the power of God unto salvation for those who believed, even for the Jew, even for the Gentile. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I'm going to the Gentiles. They resisted and blasphemed. They battled against them. Resisted. This is battle against them. This would have got hot. And Paul had a responsibility given to him by God, by Jesus Christ himself, to bring the gospel to the people. Jews and Gentiles, people he met. The Holy Spirit led Paul. And he went in. And God's not going to twist arms. He presented the gospel to these people and they resisted. We are right and you are wrong. They blasphemed. They spoke evil against God.
I shared the gospel with different people, and people have told me where to go, and they've spoken evil. They've resisted, but yet God has saved them. I believe that the gospel is all powerful. The Bible is teaching me, if the Apostle Paul put up with resistance, we're going to have to put up with resistance. But that will not stop us from going forth with the gospel. Expect resistance.
So Paul then says this. There is a point of no return. Paul says to them, your blood be on your own heads, I am clean. Now this is from Ezekiel 3:16. We actually preached on this here a few months ago. About the watchtower, the person who sits on the watchtower, and they're watching out for harm coming. The watchman on the city wall, and he sounded the alarm when danger was coming. And we have been given that role to tell people that judgment is coming if they don't repent. God's spokesman is responsible to warn the hearers of divine judgment for those who do not repent. And Paul had delivered the message. Even though they were pushing him out the door, he said, you're going to hear this. That was entrusted to him. So he delivered it. Now he bears no blame. Let your blood be on your own head. Let your blood be on your own head. I've delivered the message. When we go out into the community of Coot Hill, and we family and we friends, you can present the gospel clearly to somebody who understands who Jesus Christ is, and they can say, no, that's not what I want. I want my own thing. And they can be very angry towards us. Do we give up? No. We still have to trust that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But there's many people who need to hear the gospel. And you can get tied up in knots trying to witness to the same few people all the time. And all it will do will drain confidence out of you. And I think that's a problem in the church. It's not that we're giving up on the people who we're sharing the gospel to. What we're saying is this, that you can just spend that one time on that person, and they haven't, it's someone close to us maybe, and they haven't responded to the gospel. And we're like, I'm going to keep going. Yeah, keep going, but you need to move on and start sharing the gospel with other people. Because there will be people who will say yes. We get sidetracked over to an area. And that where we're just going and going and going. And then when we don't see a result the way we would like, it's like, this doesn't work. And the enemy's shouting in your ear, yeah, it won't work. We need to stop and think, hang on a second, I have shared the gospel clearly. Anyway, it's God who saves them, not me. I've given them the gospel, and now I need to trust God, the Holy Spirit, to do his job. I need to be moving on and sharing the gospel with others. Like I said, don't be thinking to yourself, you know, my best friend has said no. I've given them the gospel. Keep praying for them. Keep seeking God for them. But you need to move on and share the gospel with others and believe that the gospel is all powerful. Now, we see amazing truth come here. So Paul is, whoa, this is hard. These people have said no to me. They blasphemed. They've spoken evil against God. They pushed me out. Does he pack up his bags, stick his robes in a suitcase, and head off out of there? Corinth has had its chance. No, not at all. Paul, he says this, then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshipper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. I love that. His house was next to the synagogue. Well, think about it. He goes into the synagogue regularly and he's debating with these guys and he gives them Jesus Christ and then they explode and say, no more, out of here. He says, okay, I've given you everything you need to know. The blood will be on your own heads now. I'm clean. And he moves off. Does he go to the next town? No, he goes next door. We need to know that. When we're going around, the person in this house might say no. The person in the house next door might say yes. And they might open up a door into so many others' lives. You'll be quite surprised how that happens.
a door into so many others' lives, like dominoes. And we see this because Paul didn't give up, and he believed the gospel was the power of God unto salvation. I believe if you ask Paul, who would be the most difficult person to see saved in this community? I think I would have said maybe a leader in the synagogue, you know, a Jew, a rabbi. I know I was saved, but I believe the gospel is the power unto salvation. But these guys are hard work. Like, they know it all. But remember, it's God's power, his gospel, his work. We've just got to present the message. And we see wonderfully in verse 8, Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household. Imagine the delight in Paul's heart, because he knew the gospel was the power of God unto salvation. He believed. The leader of the synagogue believed with his whole household. And that wasn't, it didn't end there. These people are wonderfully saved. They've put their trust in Jesus Christ, not in their own works. And then it says, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. Did Paul, you know, just stand on a lucky patch of ground? You know, was Saturn and Venus lined up over, you know, Corinth that evening? No. God had said, go forth and make disciples. He had told them that he would give them his Holy Spirit. Clearly, people would reject the gospel, but many would receive. Paul believed in the power of the gospel. Now, how hard was Corinth? It was hard. But there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen? Do you believe that tonight? There's nothing too hard. You can look at them and say, they are galvanized, their hearts are hard, there's no way they're going to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, the gospel will break them. It broke me, it'll break them, and they will be saved. Praise God. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. Many. Now, I love this. When we see a few people being saved, we can get excited. Isn't it wonderful? And you see them being transformed, you're going, oh, brilliant. And, you know, some people are a bit, don't say the word revival because we'll just snooker the whole thing, you know. You know, we've allowed the world affect our language, Christians. We really have. Like the word revival now, if you say, oh, he's super spiritual, just keep him in a corner, you know. I believe that God wants to save many people in Coot Hill and in Cavan and in Monaghan and in Ireland and across the world. And he will. And he wants us to be involved in it. And he just wants us to believe his word. And his word is clearly showing us that there's going to be, it's hard ground, but he's able to break it up. There's hard hearts, he's able to soften them. Praise God. In Romans 1:16, Paul makes this amazing statement. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. The power of God unto salvation. Do you know what the word power means? It's dunamis. It's explosive. That's where we get dynamite from. Now, there was a man down, well, he's still alive, Roy Alistair. They owned a quarry down the road here, Alistair's Quarry. And I was speaking with Roy recently, and he was telling me that they used to have to get explosives delivered to the quarry. And I said, wow, you dealt with explosives. And he said, I did. And there was parts of the stone in the quarry they couldn't break away with the machinery that they had. It just wouldn't come away. And they used to drill holes down and put these explosive charges down, and boom, and this huge big rock came down. He said, what this little small explosive did was unbelievable. This dynamite power. So God's power, this dynamite power, this dunamis, his power unto salvation, is enough to take the worst sinner and bring them into the light. To bring a dead spiritual person alive again. I've got to
know different pastors and I've heard different testimonies over the last few years, and different ones stand out to me. And some of them, when they share with me, and different people, when they share with me where they were and where they are now, just amazes me. And there was a guy, a drug addict in Dublin, who I got to know, and he was completely, completely gone. And what he was consuming every day in alcohol, wine, and drugs is enough to kill an elephant. And his body had built up this resistance, and he needed it, he needed it, he needed it so badly. And local church folk had got around the drug addicts, he would have been one of them, and they talked to him, and he just didn't want to know. And he said, you know, I can be anything to anybody to get my drugs. I can be the nice guy, be really nice to you. Oh, you wouldn't have 10 euro there, you wouldn't have 2 euro, beg on the streets to have enough money for his drugs. And if he didn't have enough money, he'd go to the wine, drink the bottle of wine and get out of his head, so he would then go in and be the tough guy. And he would give it whatever it was. He could be the mad person, whatever it took to get sympathy, to get money, to get his drugs. He said, I did everything and anything wrong. Criminal, locked up. And he said he got so bad that he said, you know, I can get money for drugs. There's certain drugs they're giving us. If you have hepatitis, you get a bigger social welfare allowance if you have hepatitis. And he started injecting himself with blood from other people who had hepatitis, trying to get hepatitis. He didn't care. He was spiritually dead, lost. And people looking, oh man, there's no hope for him. There's no hope for him. He's too hard. And he was in this flat, passed out, and it was winter, and he had one of those little electric heaters with the electric bars. And he fell asleep, and his leg fell across the electric bar. He never woke up. And then when he did wake up, he was screaming in pain. His flesh had melted in and sizzled in between the bars. And he pulled his leg and pulled the flesh. He wrapped a towel around it, screaming in pain. He said, that's how bad I was. No hope. And he's sitting on the street in Dublin. He said, just dying. Waiting for someone to come over and shoot him that he owed money to. Soaking wet. And this wee little Christian girl, who believed that the gospel was the power of God unto salvation, came over and picked him up, sat him on a chair, and said, Jesus Christ loves you. She didn't give him the several points of Calvinism. She just said, Jesus Christ loves you. And sat him there and said, our church does an outreach. Come down to our church and we will help you. And she put the card in his pocket. And he struggled down to the church. He got a bowl of soup. He went in. He sat at the back. There was a guy up the front just doing a Bible study, speaking to people who are mature Christians. And they could hear the word of God clearly. They understood the truth. That's where they were at. But every now and again, he was hearing about the love of Jesus, about the love of Jesus, and how people have been set free, how people have been set free. And God, the Holy Spirit, was taking the gospel, the love of the saints, and starting to apply it to this man's heart. If anybody looked at him, oh, he's a hopeless lost case. But the people in that church believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That man now is an elder in his church. He married that girl who picked him up off the street. And God is using him amazingly, because they believe the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And now he believes it's the power of God unto salvation. So it can take hold of a life that's dead and give it life and make it fruitful and useful for the kingdom. And Paul believed this. I believe this. Do you believe this? And that's what we need to bring to Coot Hill. That's what we need to bring to Monaghan and Cavan, Ireland, is this gospel. It hasn't lost its power. The church has been fooled by the enemy, fooled by the abuse it gets for sharing the gospel. We need to start going back out saying, okay, bring on the abuse. But I tell you what, I'm going to leave them the gospel. And I'm going to love them. And I'm not giving up on them, because God hasn't. And there will be a point with some where you just have to walk away. But there will be many that will be ushered into the kingdom, because it's his work, not ours. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, Paul really blesses me here. I know Luke writes Acts, but Paul's reaction to this. Do you see, God knows your heart. God knows what you're feeling. Like on St. Patrick's Day, we go out and do outreach on the street. It's very interesting. And I'd be coming in, driving over, getting ready, and I've prayed into it. The church has prayed into it. And I'm coming in, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm nervous. I'm nervous. I'm going to go out, but I can't look nervous. I'm the pastor. So I've got to go in, you know, and put on a brave face. Oh, how are you, everybody? Praise God, praise God. We're going to go out and get them for the Lord. Now, I believe that. I'm not saying it, but I believe in it, but I'm nervous. I have a fear. But that's okay. Guess who knows about that fear? God. And you know what he says to us? Don't be afraid. Keep on going. Don't be afraid. It'll pay off, Paul. You're going to see many one. They're coming into the kingdom. I'm going to save them. I trust you. With these people, with these babes in Christ. So Paul saw this wonderful truth. They were baptizing people. People were believing. Athens was way off in his mind at this stage. It was all about what God was doing. Not, you know, what happened in Athens. It was all about what God was doing in Sin City. Praise God. And the Lord said to Paul in a night vision, verse 9, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent. Don't miss this. God knew Paul's fears. Isn't it wonderful to know that Paul was afraid? That encourages me. That even when he was sharing, you can say, well, when they were blaspheming and giving him a hard time in the synagogue, you must have been afraid. But even in Corinth, these people were coming. Sin City, you know, family members saying, hey, that's a cult you've joined. Get away from them. All this would have been going on. And he had to deal with all this stuff. But God says, don't let it stop you. It's my work. You keep pressing on. Do not be afraid. I was looking at this. Joshua. Do you remember Joshua? He's going into the promised land. How many times did God tell him not to be afraid? Because guess what? Joshua was afraid. We're going into big challenges. God is saying, don't be afraid. I'm going to give you the strength. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. The power of the gospel is the power of God, not the power of Coot Hill Christian Fellowship or you and I. It's the power of God. So do not be afraid, to me, speaks of moving forward. Fear stops people in their tracks. Did you ever notice that? Fear freezes you in your tracks. And when God says, do not be afraid, he's saying, don't stop, keep going, keep running the race. Keep your eyes on me. Don't look here. Keep your eyes on me. The victory is in me. Tell them about me. Be faithful. Don't change the message. Give it to them. Tell them about their sin. Tell them that they're sinners. But guess what? The Savior is coming. The Savior is available. Tell them about me. Do not be afraid. Is keep on moving. Do not be silent. We need to be moving as a church forward, and we need to be opening our mouths as we move forward. Telling people about Jesus, not telling them what they want to hear. It's easy to say, God loves you. That's all, that's wonderful. Thank you for telling me that. Wow, you're wonderful. There's a different thing to say to somebody, as I said, Jesus Christ loves you. You know, he died on the cross for your sins. You know that the people will receive that into their hearts because God, the Holy Spirit, is working in their hearts. They could be the one that opens the door to a family and to a neighborhood. We need to believe. So don't be afraid, Paul. Don't be silent, Paul. Keep moving forward. Do not be afraid any longer. I'm with you. Go on speaking. Do not be silent. There was definitely people coming against them, telling them to be silent. Don't you go speaking your rubbish around here anymore. No, Paul, you keep speaking the gospel. You keep speaking the gospel because I'm not done with Corinth. Some of the people in Corinth might be done with me, but I'm not done with Corinth. In spite of ourselves,
God loves us. In spite of ourselves, and in spite of the people in here, in Coot Hill and Cavan, God still loves them. Even though they take his name as a curse, even though they, you know, Christmas is about wrapping paper, the birth of our Savior. Easter has become about chocolate and Easter eggs. The death, burial, and resurrection. The glorious gospel. He still loves them. And he's entrusted us to go out and share. Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. And then these wonderful words that Joshua heard, and many, many men throughout and women throughout the scriptures. God spoke to them. And we have that spoken into our hearts. I am with you. The Lord is with us. So who can be against us? You know, the battle's tough. You meet the strangest characters. Some of them have such bad experiences of religion. They paint us with the same brush. Oh, you're religious. You just want to hurt us. You want our money. I hear that a lot. What do you want from me? I don't have any money to give you. I never asked you for money. I just asked, how are you? Do you see, you carry a precious treasure inside you. You're an earthen vessel. Your flesh cannot stop the Holy Spirit that lives within you. God loves us. He loves us so much. He's given us a job to do, though, to be witnesses. Don't allow negativity and the world and the enemy, the devil, to tell us that the gospel's lost its power. It's still all powerful. The Lord goes on to say, I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you. So people were speaking against him and threatening. And he said, no one's going to touch you, Paul. Now, there was times in Paul's walk where he was touched in a hard way. Stones. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was dragged outside the city and left for dead. He dusted himself off and went back in. There's going to be those days, folks. But guess what? When that power of the gospel is driving you forward, the Holy Spirit empowers us to share the gospel. Christ in us, the hope of all glory, we'll go and share. But the Lord is with us. Who can be against us? He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's there at that point in time when the enemy, the mouthpiece, is just speaking into your face, get out of my housing estate, get out of here, get out of there, get out of here, go away. God says, I am with you, Paul. Don't worry. No man will attack you in order to harm you. Why? Why is God saying this? I have many people in this city. The Lord was working in the hearts of many people in that city. We're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God knows who are his. The Bible teaches us that. In this city, God was working in many people's hearts. Wouldn't it be great if a little light appeared above their houses? These are the ones. Oh, and staying away from that house. And they all say, oh yeah, I received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the church is full overnight. We'd be all out just knocking on those doors, wouldn't we? No, it's not like that. God's ways are above our ways. He puts us through things. And believe it or not, these things are shaping you into this beautiful, beautiful object that he desires greatly. And he's given to the Son, and the Son will present these to the Father. Each of us, this beautiful, beautiful people, his bride. And we're put through the fires of trials. And one of the trials we get is that, go away, leave me alone. But we still go forward with the gospel. Do you know, we've seen God do great things, and we're on the verge of great things. And I read much, and I look, and I'm saying, Lord, people were on the verge of great things, but it went flat. The air went out of it. What happened? It started off well, but it fell away because they were distracted, discouraged, and they forgot the most important thing, that the work is God's and that the power is his, but our responsibility is to share the gospel. I know I say this to many people, and I don't care if they call me a broken record, but I'm rejoicing in my King and what he's doing. When we started knocking on doors in a couple of these housing estates, we were told to go away, get stuffed, don't come back. And we went back, and we went back, and we went back. And we started to see children come. We started to see people come. People said, my kid will never go to that club. They're saying, here, take them. People who said, get away from my front door, don't you dare come near. Would you please come in and pray with me? So, is that Paul Hackett? No. Is that OM? No. Who is that? It's God. The gospel. The Holy Spirit, you see, is going in. And he's softening hearts. And when we go in, it might be we're going to impact Ireland with impact. We're going to impact Coot Hill. When we go in and sow that seed, it's going to bear fruit. And we're going to see many of these people come to the Lord. And we just have to be faithful in that and believe that. And don't let anything stop us from doing that. Look at Paul. He was persistent. He didn't give up. He definitely came into Corinth after a hard job in Athens. Oh, those fellows were hard, intellectual. They knew it all. And he arrived in Corinth. And he met up with two Christians who had a heart for the work. He walked away. And his two buddies arrived. And it freed him up. He looked at the word. It built up his confidence again. This is real. This is God. Oh, I'm going into that synagogue. They're getting some of the Old Testament truth. And he gave it to them. No, thank you. Okay, let your blood be on your own heads. Did he pack up his bags and head for the next town? No. He went next door. And he gave them the gospel. And people started to get saved. There was a great breakthrough in the city. Praise his name. Praise God's name. And we will see the breakthrough. And Paul's knees were knocking. People were speaking against him. But God says, don't fear. Don't stop. Keep on going. Keep on speaking. Keep on sharing the gospel. And many will come into the kingdom. Corinth was a hard city. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, there's not. Cavan is a hard city, but we'll see the breakthrough. Coot Hill is hard, but we'll see the breakthrough. I was hard and God saved me. You were hard and God saved you. We were all religious. But the breakthrough came. Who did Paul preach to them? Jesus Christ. He didn't preach religion at them. You have to put your faith in a denomination. He preached Jesus Christ. You must put your trust in Jesus Christ. That's what we preach. Paul was a man of prayer. And we see in a lot of his letters about prayer. And he would have been praying. And he was a man of action. He just didn't stay in the prayer room. He put feet to his prayers. And he believed as he went out. Our breakthroughs will be opposed by powerful demonic forces. That's what will push back against us. But the great thing is this. We're not pushing back against them. It's God. The devil says no. He's a lawyer, an accuser. He will tell you, is it going to happen? That only happened in Wales. That only happened in Scotland. It doesn't happen in Ireland. It's coming. When people get hold of the truth of the gospel, being the power of God unto salvation again and believing and praying, get names on your prayer boards. Pray for them. Pray them into the kingdom and you'll see the strongholds coming down. We're going to see great things happen. I believe in all my heart. Because the word of God tells me so. Nothing can stop the gospel. And we need to take steps of faith. So don't be afraid. Don't be silent. Look around you and say, God, you are with us. Who can be against us? He has many people he still wants to save in Coot Hill, Cavan, Monaghan, Ireland, across this world. God is with us. There's no town too hard for the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, I think of the night I was saved. And I thank you that those who shared the gospel with myself and my wife and everybody there believed that your gospel was the power of you, God, unto salvation for those who believed. And we believed. You've done amazing things in our lives, and I thank you. That night, I decided to follow Jesus. And there is no turning back. And Lord, that wonderful truth we sang about that cross of Calvary, it's all powerful, that Jesus Christ, he paid it all. And Lord, those who put their trust in Jesus, your son, you won't turn them away, Lord. You bring them into the kingdom. You wonderfully save them to the uttermost. You place your spirit within them. We thank you. And Lord, you empower them to go forth and share your truth. Lord, I pray for our own church and people here are visiting from other churches. I pray for the churches across Ireland. Those who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. I pray, Father God, that you give people a fresh sense of how powerful the gospel is, that it is sufficient. Lord, that this lie the enemy has spoken into people's hearts, that they break off these chains of these lies. We bind them, Lord, and we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will give us a fresh belief in our hearts tonight, Lord, of how powerful the gospel is, that we won't stop, that we'll keep on going, that we won't be afraid, and we won't be silent. We'll keep on speaking the gospel and believing for people to be saved. No matter how hard they are, Lord, we know you can break through, and we believe for great things in Coot Hill and across this land. Lord, bless us and encourage us tonight, Lord. Thank you for your word. Praise you, Lord. And Father God, thank you for this church and all it means to us and how you've kept it here, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the people of Coot Hill, that you haven't given up on them, and the people of this land of Ireland. Save them to the uttermost. Break out in a great way, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.